Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to Life Success Radio, and we say welcome to the future. Today is Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. And on Wednesdays, we feature this Wednesday show that's under the title of Free Thinking Miracle Warriors, Living Reality Now. I'm going to repeat that one. Free Thinking Miracle Warriors, Living Reality Now. Now, Life Success Radio, we have been very fortunate to have our sponsor, Reality Books, which is the publishing company of the book called, entitled, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. Now, the Reality Books company is owned by the senior great-grandson of Dr. Booker T. Washington, and his name is Professor Marshall Washington Cavendish Abui. And all of those names have a connection to his historical legacy. Now, my name is Halim, the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. And before we begin, I'd like to ask you to join me in prayer. I'll say it in Arabic and English. And so, in any event, thank you very much. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Now, that was a recital in Arabic, which is in my memory bank and in my heart. And it's called Al-Fatiha, which is the opening, which is also the most seven read verses in the holy book called the Quran. So let me say in English those seven verses, which I just said in Arabic. So here we go. We are, I seek refuge with God from the accursed devil Satan, with the name Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, God, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and thy aid do we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those whose portion of success and prosperity is not wrath and who go not astray. Amen. Amen. You can say amen. You can say be it so. You can say let it be done. You can say on earth as it is in heaven. So, again, my name is Halim. I'm Dr. Halim Mustafa. But my persona as a radio host personality is Halim the Dream Builder, Doctor of Self-Esteem. I have two other connections to what I'm saying as I describe myself. I am the master inspirational success teacher. I'm the world's greatest inspirational success teacher since Napoleon Hill, author of the book And Grow Rich. Now, I show every week, we're in a transformative phase right now, so I want to explain to you. Our sponsor has been very, very supportive of everything, so I have no complaints, and we're not leaving under any negative circumstance, and we're really not leaving. We're going to grow so we can actually be more effective in serving the young people with our program. I'll explain that to you. But sometimes leaving a situation can be somewhat sad when you know that the person who has been helping you has done so from their heart and didn't ask you for a penny, but asked you to save the youth and do your job and then let them get blessed for doing what they do to help you. So I understand those principles, but still it's a situation where I almost regret that we have to grow. That's like a bird flying away from, well, getting kicked out of mother's nest and learning how to fly. And so we're going to fly. We're not going to hit the ground, but we're going to hit the ground running, but not like getting, you know, what you might say, our head busted. Because what we're doing in this transformative period, the modern-day achievers, who is the entity that is actually the copyright or the intellectual property owner of Life Success Radio, has plans to establish a internship radio training communications network that will be not only just here in Texas, but national across the country to help our young people develop career pathways in the media, entertainment, communication, news network. See, we have to be very smart and put the incentive in front of our young people, and I believe they will make a good decision, knowing that right now all that's being done by the industry that influences their behavior more than anything is they're learning the bad behavior of people who will be nothing but booty shakers and people who are dope dealers and people who are like fantasy living in somebody else's vicarious nightmares. Now, see, so what we're doing is putting the media in the hands of our young people with the ideas that they will become their own promoters of the good things that they are about. We talk about helping young people understand how to go in business for themselves, how to learn how to save the urban communities from destruction of what we call gentrification. And under the definition, you know, that certainly has a positive slant for those who are doing it. But those who are victim of it, they're like being like put out of their house or their community. So we are working with young people to teach them the ideas of civic and social responsibility, whereby public service and patriotic duty will become their number one concern, which this brings me to the actual title discussion of what we want to get to in terms of our question of the day. Now, the question of the day that we are looking at is very quite simple, And I'm looking here, right? We are talking about, for the topic today, is connecting the dots to freedom, justice, and equality. And we are saying that this connection, we have to ask ourselves, will Americans ever learn common sense and wisdom to eliminate racism, white supremacy, and black prejudices? Right. And we're also going to go into discussion on what are the social impacts of the 1960s soul message music era that birthed black power cry and fight for freedom, justice, and equality nationally through song and dance. We do have today in the music world leadership to the promised land. So what it is that today we have certain people who are responsible with their music, responsible with their videos. And so we will follow you in terms of what you're doing positively, and you represent in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit, as the Moses taking us to the promised land. Now, you might get in there and you might change your mind. You might be all Illuminati'd up where you owe him so many favors that you can't do what you want to do, but we know in your heart you have a concern. So in that sense, we ask you to, you know, contribute some money to the effort so that we can help these young people avoid the Illuminati and all this other superstitious bull. Because we have to be honest that the only power in this universe is God. And we have to do things to get our young people to start thinking in a cosmic way so that they understand that God is in everything they do and say and pray. For me, I want to say this before I go a little bit further and monologue. Yesterday and the day of yesterday, actually the 30th and the 31st of October, was for me a anniversary of when I first went homeless in San Francisco, California, for 4 years that lasted up until November 11th, 2016, which now is only like 10 days away. So I'm kind of like going through this transitionary period myself, where I was celebrating with my wife and family that we've come back together after I was AWOL. I was absent without love, and my wife's name was Vivian, so I was absent without love, and I missed her so much. I missed my children so much. I missed my life so much. But since I had kind of lost my way momentarily, which I was writing in a book the day I got found by my brother from a different father, same mother, and my sister from a different mother, same father, they found each other, and they found me in San Francisco about 4 p.m. I never can ever forget. I was standing waiting to go to the restroom. They have an outside toilet that the people stand in line because the library had closed and the city hall was not open, and the Billy Graham Center or the Civic Center was not open. So most people either go and use the bathroom, you know, on the buildings or on car tires or in the streets. So I said, rather than lose my dignity this time, because, you know, I did lose my dignity a few times and I had to do what I had to do on the streets, but that's the truth and reality of living homeless. Right? You learn to survive and you learn to thrive and prosper. And you might not understand it, but homeless people are pretty smart people because they know how to survive and they know how to, you know, work together as a team. But in any event, so I'm standing there waiting in line, and I'm writing a message on a book that someone had given me. And the message I was writing, I says, "Dear God, I apologize for losing my faith momentarily." Now, when I was writing the word momentarily, a voice came behind me and said, "Brother," I recognized that voice as my sister. And then I wanted to run, because I told myself if anybody ever came and found me, I would run away. But I have arthritis in my knees, so I couldn't even move. So I just stood there facing the opposite of what I heard the voice from behind me say. And then I got the courage to kind of turn my body slightly to the right, and I looked over my shoulder to my right, and I saw my baby brother who had been in prison for 18 years. He was looking at me. He was saying, like, damn, what happened to you? In his attitude, his eyes are all booked. He says, brother, come home with us. I couldn't say anything because I was, like, shocked that he was so big. I said, he'd whoop my butt if I tried to run. But I couldn't run. I couldn't even crawl. I couldn't hobble. All I could do was stand there. So in any event, they came to me and they hugged me. And they said to me, hey, you hungry? I was hungry. I said, yeah. But I said to them, I said, why come you guys, when you hugged me, you didn't frown your face? Because I know I was so funky, I smelled myself. And they said, oh, we didn't smell that. I said, okay, I know they're lying, but I smell myself. But I didn't take a bath for 3.5 because living homeless for me in San Francisco, the shelters were so overcrowded and so liced up with lice and bugs and all the other kind of thugs. I'm talking thugs, not bugs, but thugs selling dope in the shelters. You have the quality of air from the asbestos causing asthmatic attacks. So for me, I'd rather live on the streets and take my chances and be free in my own time instead of being in prison in a shelter, because that was just exactly like it was. So for my period of time being homeless, I came to appreciate the fact that I knew how to survive, and I knew that my survival eventually was going to end with me dying. I just really thought that. I really had that thought. But then, you know, you have a plan, but God has a plan, and God showed me his hand. And that plan was very beautiful how it unfolded. The difficulty for me was that when my son found out, and my wife and daughter and all found out, they had already moved to Texas, and they left the house that we owned occupied by renters. So my wife was very smart in what she did. My children were all grown up, so they did what they did as grown-ups to help the family. So I come back homeless, and I find that my family had grew up, and I was so proud of them, but I was also embarrassed for my AWOL away from my family. So my son, he came, flew down, got a room for a whole week at the Berkeley Harbor Hotel, right there by Sinbad's restaurant, I think it is, or some restaurant over there by the water in Berkeley off University Avenue. So we're in the hotel for a whole week together. And so the first day, I know he was a Muslim, and so he knew how to pray, but I had forgot how to pray. I forgot how to pray. And that was so embarrassing because I taught my son about al-Islam. And when it was time for me to pray, I didn't know what to say. So my son made the adhan, which is a call to prayer. And after making the adhan, he took a position on the side of me as me being a father and leader to go ahead and lead the prayer. So I forgot it. I really forgot it. And I started crying. I started crying because I forgot my prayer. And my son said, Dad, don't worry, Dad. Don't worry. He put his hand on my right shoulder. I never forget it. He said, Dad, don't worry. What I did, I kind of suck up the tears and regrouped myself, and I said, okay, let me try this again. So I started saying the Al-Fatiha again. But this time, as I said it, some power came inside me and allowed me to say it with a powerful, powerful message. Like, I was telling God, I wasn't asking God, I was telling God the prayer. I was telling him in such a way that my power overrode my fear. And then that was like the stepping stone that get me back on line where that now I can pray, and I know the prayer, but I never had ever lost a prayer in my whole life, but I found it back. And I'm going to give you the metaphor of Peter Pan. But instead of a smile, I found a prayer. The smile was important to Peter Pan, but for me, the prayer was even better because I was able to communicate directly with God without having an intervention of Jesus or anybody human in the middle of me asking God for help. So short story is that my life has changed tremendously. I have a lot of things going on, and I was very blessed to be able to find my friends and find out who they really are. And I suggest if you think you have friends, just get in trouble. Go home for a while. See what people do. Watch how they talk about you. Watch how they say, okay, he's begging for money, and when are you gonna pay me back? You know, now this is people that you grew up with, family, and it could be friends that you know a long time. But when you go home, there's people change their perspective of you and their perception of you, and they judge you as being worthless, piece of S-H-I, shy, with a tip, right? Right? So anyway, I learned a lesson that a lot of times people make prejudgment on the things that we go through, not knowing that it happened to me, it can happen to you. So short story of a long story is that now I have a friend of mine. I called him the professor, but more than that, he's like my father. But more than that, he's a believer in God, and he helps me to understand myself historically wise in terms of growing as a ex-slave. Now, I have to admit the fact, yes, I come from ex-slavery, but that don't mean today that I'm a slave in my behavior. Because the thing is that a lot of black people are suffering, and this kind of talks to the idea of that will Americans ever learn common sense of wisdom to eliminate racism, white supremacy, and black prejudices. Now, it's hard for blacks to really be prejudiced under the idea of what racism has the power to do, because racism and white supremacy has the power to change the rules around your life and put you in a trick bag as long as they want to keep you believing in white supremacy. Now, the idea of white supremacy is quite clear in my head, that when you go to church, if Jesus was black, like it says in terms of Revelations, that he had a woolly hair, like lamb's wool, and he had molten brass feet with a line that, like, I know my feet, I look at my feet, I have a molten brass look with my feet brown and then golden underneath it for my soul, the bottom of my feet. Now, that's what Revelation says, and he said he had eyes like fire. Now, I look at most black people, we fit that description. I look at white people, I don't see that one. But I see the dominance of the imagery that white people have saw fit to put up in the synagogues. Well, synagogues, yes, and the temples and the all these other things that people go to worship. So today I'm saying to you that black prejudice is nothing that I really adhere to, but I have an understanding of where it's coming from. Because the racism, white supremacy, as defined by Dr. Francis Crest Welsing, defines it as a global system of racism, white supremacy, enacted or carried out by those who consider themselves white. Now, when you think about that, you analyze the people who have what you call privileged skin color and maybe privileged money that they have. They think, because they are of the color that they have put artificially in the environments to show Jesus as being white and not his true color of being, Afro-black or, you know, Semitic. Semitic is the best word I can say. Semitic. Not like Semitic like the Jews say, like Semitic is only Jews, but I'm talking about Semitic in terms of the mixture of, like, black with a lighter tint than dark night tar black. Now, there's some Africans that have that tar black, and they have this in their skin called melanin. So from that tar black skin or that crystal black melanin, people who have the melanin are a danger and threat to people who don't have it, and that's why white people do what they do. And I love you white people, I do, because I got white in me. You know, my grandmother was Irish, and I had another grandmother on my father's side is she was white and from Texas, you know, where I'm at now, but she was from Lubbock, Texas. And you look at her, she's a white lady in all regards, right? Winnie Dixon, that's her name. And my grandmother, Ethel Abercrombie, she was a victim of being raped by her Irish father, who had married her mother, who was Indian. And so I had not only Irish, I had Indian, Cherokee, I had African blood in me, and so a lot of these other things I had in me as strings of DNA. That's the real me, right? So I say today that we black and white people and Chinese people and everybody who thinks that they're better than the next person because of their money or their color or the fact that they are arrogant enough to think that they the only ones who could ask God or, you know, get blessings or steal things and not get punished for them. They think that no one is looking, but see, God got a plan for all of us. Because I know personally that the catastrophes of today, Texas, I experienced the floods so bad, and I didn't know how bad it was, because the people who were making progress and trying to structuring the communities to make them, like, you know, take away the marshlands and make it into like a Disneyland with slopes of nice grass and stuff, they messed up the natural, what you call the natural waterways or the natural dikes that actually kind of move the water as it rains down. It kind of moves the water through the channel system that's naturally there. But what happened, they actually used their engineer brains and made a stupid decision to take away the marshlands and fill it in with rocks and grass. And so that's caused flood here in Texas. And that's not the only thing that God has been doing in seeing that we make mistakes and punishing us for what we're doing and what we're not doing in terms of helping people to come to understanding that God is real and God is great and God is real and God is great. God is good. God is fate. Right? You got it? So here's what happened. In California, there's these firestorms. I found out about this by my friend, I think yesterday, on his radio blog, J.D. Jenkins, and he is a very knowledgeable young man, younger than me, much younger, and he told me that they had firestorms that closed the airports down at San Francisco Airport. Firestorms in Napa Valley, a very, very rich wine country where everybody's got money, take tours and spend $1,000 and go get drunk and then have fun. So there, the firestorm closed that whole area down. The smog and from the fire and smoke was so strong that it caused many bad air alerts and had people were walking around with masks on for oxygen, and the firestorm, as it was a firestorm, people looking like they're caught in hell, surrounded by all the pillars of smoke, like it's talked about in the Quran. That's kind of weird, but it's kind of like something that needs to happen, because I'm going to tell you personally, in San Francisco and in Napa and the Bay Area in general, there's a whole lot of rich folks doing nothing for the homeless. They got their money, they got their education, they got everything they need. They see the homeless person, and I was homeless, I know what I'm talking about. They sometimes would spit on you, they sometimes would kick you. They sometimes would, you go to a restaurant to use a bathroom after you done bought something there, they say you can't use the bathroom, it's not working, which is against the law in terms of having a food establishment without a bathroom working. That's against the law. But still, that happened, and the police were implicit in enforcing it, and they would arrest homeless people just for sitting on the sidewalk, resting their tired legs and not begging, just resting on the sidewalk. Hey, it's hot out here. I'm tired, I'm walking. So we have lost our sensitivity as human beings. But this is what I'm saying. So the wisdom that we must have today, we need to think about the songs of yesterday, kind of talk to it as we connect the dots to freedom, justice, and equality for humanity, right? Now, I know there's a song Stevie Wonder has called Future Paradise. And it's a beautiful song, but you got to listen to words, not just shake your rump to the music. And it says, we've been spending most our life living in a pastime paradise. They've been spending most of their life living in a future paradise, right? So that's the hook. We black people, right, and minorities who maybe don't have, you know, ability to, you know, be independent, live in the past, talk about the past, never have an idea of the future, while people who have it all they doing is talking about the future, right? So the people who don't have it, future is not a promise. It's a nightmare if you think about it, because you're going to go to the future with no money? That don't make sense, not to me. So anyway, there's other songs that talk about it. Now, I know there's a song called by Curtis Mayfield. It says remember your dream is your only scheme, so keep on pushing. Not no dope now. Pushing your dream by being active and busy. It says something to the effect that we have to look at all human beings as the family of man and work together from that perspective. Now, Marvin Gaye talks about it too in What's Going On, and he says it like, if you really understand, it's all about the children. So if we as Americans are going to learn the common sense and wisdom to eliminate white supremacy and black prejudice, is we have to educate our children. We have to book them up in terms of knowledge. We got to prop them up in terms of having inspiration that only God can give, right? Not anything on this earth can inspire you more than God can. So we have to make our young people aspire to have God in their life. So there's other songs that I can think of, like one song by the Beatles that was very famous, and it caused John Lennon to get killed by a crazy, crazy egotistical white racist who shot him because all he said was, all we need is love. All we need is love. And the man shot him on the spot without even a warning. So I know that they're the devils out there. Devil is not out there. The devil is also in you sometimes, and you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself by asking yourself in the mirror, am I the change that I want to be? Am I the change that I want to see? Am I the change that my brother Michael Jackson talked about? If you want to see the world be a better place, take a look at yourself in the mirror and make the change. Wow, that's a song that made me cry, right? There's other songs that are out there. And all I'm saying is this. We have to think, if we're going to end racism and white supremacy, we got to be a balance on this thing. And we got to tell it like it is. There's white racism, white supremacy by those who consider themselves white, and it includes everybody totally who think they're better because they got money and they got houses and whatever other material things they have. But then there's also people who are in poverty who have been conditioned through the white supremacy imagery to hate everybody who is like black, hate everybody who is like white, living in a poor community now. So you're just hating on people just because you've been so conditioned to hate that you don't even know how to love yourself no more. So as much as the hate is, it is really the condition or the result of people not knowing how to love themselves as human beings. Because when you love yourself, you love others. When you love others, you work together on things that are like fantastic journeys where you can travel the journey in a 314 limousine. 314 limousine. Can you get that? You got a limousine, a 314, a pi or a square, or an onk, or a kaba, or a circle. You got it? So So you gotta book yourself with knowledge and learn about the 314 and know what you're talking about when you say 314. It's not 3 like 15, almost 15 after 3. It's pi r squared, what is the most perfect measurement of the radius of the pyramid on the ground. The circle radius is like pi r squared, and it's so perfect that it's about the size, about the width of a eyelash in terms of it being so close to perfect in the radius of the circle around the pyramid. So you got a 314 up, so you can heaven up. You can move forward on what is like the natural connection with the black Egyptians, who Egyptians, Africans. Let's say Africans, right? Africans. There was a name before that, Kibilonians. I'm making that one up, but it's Kibilon for sure. Kibilon was the name of Africa, and Africa was not actually a continent like it is, and it was actually it was based on tribals. But Sarah Palin has a different perspective. I think she said that Africa was not a continent, but she said it's like the African is a state. Like, that's the most ignorant thing that you ever could say if you ran for president, that I'm here looking at Africa and it's a state like the United States of America. Sarah Palin, I know you have a good intention, but you have some ignorant behavior in yourself and your children. The young man who left your daughter, he left her on purpose because she was all about flower, trying to use what she had to trick him, and he tricked her in the end. And you got egg on your face, and you ran for vice president, and you just embarrassed your whole race, Sarah Palin. But that's okay. We love you still. But still, what I'm saying is that people have got to stop illing over color. We got to stop illing off of false pride. We have to stop illing off the ideas that you are the only one that can see the future. Now, if you're that intelligent or you're that spiritually connected, can you tell me what the future will hold for you when you get ready to fly off the coop? Do you know when you're going to die? Do you have an idea that you might die like right now, this second, this minute, as God is talking to you and just you not listening, all of a sudden he snatched the breath out of you, or your beat snatched your heart rhythm out, or make somebody throw a baseball through the window, or maybe get bit by a poisonous spider? I mean, so there's so many things. But so why do you, I'm talking generally to people, why do people think that they can outthink God? There's no way in heaven that you can outthink God. So we have to understand God is a reason and a plan for everything, and we just got to learn how to tune into it and work with it and not try to say that, you know, we have the secret, and the secret is like following me. Not me, but, you know, following the people who say we got the secret. And the secret is what? The secret is spookism, and it's what they call when people do this voodooism. Oh, I got the secret, man. Yeah, come over here and put some voodoo on you, throw some magic dust in your eyes, and then I'm going to steal your wallet, and then you ain't going to know what happened because, you know, you're going to be, like, crying for so long. And so the dust I throw in your eyes, I'm going to take your money and take your family and take your communities. And this is what's happening right now with gentrification on a real, real level here in America. Listen to what I'm telling you. Communities that have been minorities, and I know them more as being black than any other minority, are being subjugated to racism, white supremacy that is taking away the land with a very thorough process of how do we make the economy disappear from the local communities and give it a false economy that destroys the young people, that destroys the future minds, and we're talking about having drugs being sold in the neighborhood. If I have to tell the truth, which I have to tell the truth, and bear with me as I say this truth, I know that when the Iran-Contra arms scandal was happening in Iran, when the Shah of Iran was stealing the money from the Iranian people and sending it to America to bank it up, there was a some kind of guy named Khomeini, a spiritual leader. He called for a disorder, and they actually went and took over the American embassy there in Iran. I'm not sure what year. That might have been 1978. I'm just going on memory now. So in any event, they took over the embassy, and with all this edifices of Americans being like burned and tortured, they've done all these things. So America said, listen, we have some weapons that you want, and if you give us $30 million, we'll give you all these weapons that we have for you. So Iranian said, okay, fine, we'll give you back your prisoners after Jimmy Carter fell on his mission and the helicopter crashed trying to be stealth, right? So the $30 million that was given by American government to Iranian government, let me flip that. Iran gave America $30 million. America gave Iran $30 million in arms. So America now has $30 million, and then they took the $30 million and went to El Salvador and bought $30 million in narcotics, crack powder, not crack, but cocaine powder. And then they took the powder and they saturated the ghetto, and that's how the crack cocaine episode grew in America. Because what the CIA did, who were implicit in this situation, they took the money that was given by Iran and they flipped it into El Salvador to support the Sandinistas, I believe the Sandinistas, who were fighting against the El Salvadorians, I guess, you know. So the thing is that now they had the money, they bought the dope, and so that means that the Salvador had the money, and then America said, hey, you want some more weapons to fight that revolution? Give me that $30 million. And so they gave them the $30 million in exchange for some arms, and now America had money from Iran and money from El Salvador, and both of them had guns. That's a trip, how this bombs and this weapon stuff gets spread. So the point is this, that they took the dope and they made it into crack, and they went to the ghetto by way of L.A., by way of a guy that I know as Free Ray Rick, like the Freeway 101 or Freeway 110 in L.A., but so Free Ray Rick. He was the targeted as the a sanctioned and authorized dope dealer for the CIA. And so he actually gave all the dope to his brothers in the Crips and Bloods, and they started all this murder and drug selling. And that's like, okay, that happened. And there's also other people that were involved, like, for example, Suge Knight, indirectly in terms of maybe directly too, I don't know. But for sure, Harry O., I met in prison in San Quentin. I didn't go to prison, but I was visiting prison, and I was speaking, and I met him, and he shared the idea that he financed Death Row Records. So he really owns still today Death Row Records, and so he was going through process to get it back, and he was going to call it the Sphinx Rise Again. That was his plan. So what I'm saying is that the CIA was so smart. They outsmarted themselves. Now, here's what happened. This guy by the name of Webb, who was a news reporter, author, news writer for San Jose Mercury, he had written about this whole episode of the Iran-Contra arms scandal, and he had talked about Maxine Waters as being, she was kind of not involved in it, but she was aware to certain degrees. So he was leaving his house one morning, and he ended up shooting himself in the head twice. And that's impossible. So he shot himself in the head twice, and they didn't find nobody. And they went on with the media and said, well, he shot himself in the head twice. He pulled the trigger so fast, he shot himself in the head twice. That's impossible. So somebody murdered him. And so they want that information to not ever be known. And Maxine Waters, this is what she did. She told the world about the CIA selling their drugs, like I had explained to you. That was her connection. But still nothing has happened. So I don't know why America don't like black people. I know for sure it might be the melanin, but I'm hoping that it's that you don't like us because we are what you might say, more smarter than you. I think that's why you don't really like us. I think you don't like us because we know how to travel through the 314 across the universe in our mental machines or our spiritual engines called the Ankh and the because you see that as evil and not really spiritual. So I'm saying, America, I love you, but you are disappointing me something too much. Now, I'm going to go here forward to our current president. Now, Mr. President, I know you have good intentions, but you never smile, and that makes me suspicious. See, when a person don't smile, I know they have an evil tendency, and you, I have not seen smile yet, and you got a young woman, wife, that's like 20 years younger than you, old man, and you ain't smiling? You must not be getting none, bro. But I know me, a woman like her, pretty looking girl, 20 years younger than me, and I'm a grandpa like you, and she says, kiss me, baby, and I'll change your sky to blue, and you don't get a smile on your face, you either a homosexual or you just a evil person who don't understand what a woman was put here for. So you might be of the wannabe tribe called a Wanabi. Wanabi, what is what? Wanabi be a homosexual? Or Wanabi be, say, a member of the, what's that group called? They call themselves the Illuminati? And there's another group that goes in this retreat in San Francisco area, and they actually go and they tell the black men to bend over and let me love you, baby, to make you a faggot for them. Excuse my language. Okay, faggot. Faggot's a piece of wood that burns slow. So they make the black leaders become faggots when they go to this event they do out in the wilderness. It starts with B. I don't have the name in front of me now, but it starts with B, and I may come up with it later. But they turn them into faggots, slow burning people who are working for the Illuminati, and the Illuminati is like really very people who really don't have no respect for anybody because they're devil worshippers. And so these people who are these slow-burning faggots, they give up, they have as their body to these other faggots who ride men like women, and they think it's fun, and they have this ceremony out there at this location in Northern California, right? And all that's doing is telling us that God is not, well, it's not telling me, but it's telling them that they say, we are stronger than God, because we can party all night, Illuminati style, and ride all of these faggots like they're women, right? I wish I could say that name of the thing. But even I'm saying to you, and we got to tell the truth in everything. That's what's going to change the situation for all of us. The truth will set you free, and that's the fact in life. The more truth you have, the more growth you can look forward to. But with no truth, you're living a lie, and that lie might be implicit on your being I'm God-like, you know, we all God-like, but you're saying that you're God because you have the imagery on the cross and you have the ability to make the Pope in, say, Italy, you pimping the Pope or the pimp is pimping you. I'm not sure what it is, though. I think both are pimping each other, right? I know the Godfather talked about that in the Godfather 3 or 4, well, I think it was 4, where the Godfather became partners with the Pope, and the Pope tricked the Godfather and got him in the cross, and the Pope actually got killed because the Godfather don't take no bull stuff. And then, of course, the ideas of the money being put into the banks to take over the financial institutions of the world, and they had a crash later on, and they had crashed in recent times, and it just continues to crash. And every time it crashes, somebody loses, and the people who lose are those who have the money. But those who got the Illuminati connections, they continue to grow. And so the money has a string that's tied way to the past in a family called the Rothschilds. You might have heard of those Illuminati assets. I'm sorry, Illuminati assets, not asses. But they are Illuminati assets that are used by the devil. And I don't care what you say. You might like me, not like me for what I'm saying, but I got to tell the truth. I got to live with me. If I don't tell the truth, God's going to punish me. So that's how I am. I'm sure Jesus is the same way in his real life. Moses the same way in his life, and Muhammad the same way in his life, and Noah and Abraham and everybody that's a spiritual conscious leader, including Elijah Muhammad and Worthy Man Worthy Muhammad. Everybody told the truth. But now wait, and Malcolm told the truth, right? That you're going to beat him up because he told the truth? No, you should say, hey, thank you, the truth has set me free. So let me step away from these evil people and join you, my brother, my sister, right? So I just want to say my bottom line concern is to help young people become leaders so they don't become victims of this hell that's been created to take people out of heaven on earth while yet we live. Now, I say this with knowledge because I am a psychologist, and I'm going to tell you exactly how it feels and how you actually say words that influence your behavior. So I have the young people say, never say hello, always say heaven up. Hello is not the greeting that we use anymore because that greeting is from hell and not from heaven. So when you say hello, your mind automatically goes below. And when you say heaven up, it's a different spirit. Try it yourself. Ask anyone to say hello and say, how does that feel? And say, heaven up, and how does that feel? That's one of the things that we, as a greeting, that's what we say. And then as a departure, we don't say bye or so long. We say forward to the future. In Spanish, it's adelante hacia el futuro. In English, it's forward to the future, like I just said. And in and then Chinese is different language, the same thing. But we're going to have this as a movement so that we as a people, a society, can keep it moving, keep it grooving. So whenever the Spirit of God comes back and gives us the instructions of next what to do, we'll be ready. Now, listen, let me say this because this just triggered another thought I had. I wrote this out yesterday, and I want to say to you, when the student is ready, dot, 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 what happens? When a student is ready, dot, 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 what happens? Most people say, when a student is ready, the teacher will appear. I understand that, but that's not the answer that God gave me. When a student is ready, life will appear. Life is all, everything, and bundled in, and it's a spirit that can unfold and morph into a whole lot of things. So when you, as a student, are ready for change, life will give you all the answers. You just got to stay sober. You got to stay righteous. You got to stay away from the Illuminati thinkers, away from the crooks who might be in your family. They might be black people in your church, who are like acting like the ministers, stealing money in the donations that's given every week. It might be even your police chiefs taking money on a kickdown from the dope dealers. And I know it happened because I was a police officer myself in California for 10 years. And I knew personally that there were sheriff deputies who were on the take. And they would, you know, be hanging out off duty inside the apartment buildings where the dope was being, like, distributed, you know, watching what their money is and taking it. Matter of fact, I know personally this one black deputy sheriff, I won't mention name, he actually One night I was working undercover in my local town where everybody knows me. That's kind of ridiculous. But in any event, there was a sting that was set up by the San Mateo County Sheriff's Office, and we were just, the police agency were just by in case of any need for transportation or any emergency. So they had got his daughter to wear a bug, and so she went in all bugged up, and she was a dope fiend on crack. So when she went inside, we all listened, and her microphone went on silence, and where was she was a question. So she took this, she went inside, she showed her father the mic that she's all booked up with this spy equipment on, and so she snatched it off and left it there and went out and got some more crack cocaine. So she outsmarted them, and her father got away from being a dope dealer. And he was like a real good dope dealer, too. Better than Superfly, right? He had like, I think, 3 Rolls Royces, man. He didn't have a Lamborghini, though, but he had 3 Rolls Royces, and he had his family buying houses. And, you know, it's a shame when people have to stoop low to such, what you might say, immoral things. And, see, it'll catch it with you one way or the other. Now, I just say this. For me, integrity is critical, and that's what we have in the examples of some of our best leaders in the past, like Dr. Booker T. Washington, like Dr. George Washington Carver, like Frederick Douglass. I'm sure he's a doctor, too. He's whooping butt and making these white people recognize that July 4th was not even worth the time for black people to go celebrate July 4th. We were still in slavery. It didn't make no sense. There's others that include Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who wrote the book called The Miseducation of the Negro. And he said that the effects of white racism, I'm going to summarize it, the effects of white racism caused black people to be so inferior that they would go to the back of the bus on purpose, and if there wasn't a back door in the office or where they went to work at, they would make a back door just to be comfortable. And that's the psychological disposition of black people today. So we have to find ways to get black people to start, and white people too, but black people have more of a sickness of it, because after 300 years in slavery, and still being in slavery today in 2017, the psychosis is ill for people who have a sick disposition that's really diagnosed as being crazy. And there's other folks who are affected by it that aren't crazy per se, but the influences are so great that they start behaving a way that you say, well, what's wrong? That's not natural behavior. So we as a people, we have to acknowledge the fact that we have this issue, and only in doing so will we come to the idea that I mentioned about how can we, and I'm going to say it again, as I had said, the what we're going to be the theme of, what this discussion is going to be. So the theme, what we said, is that connecting the dots to freedom, justice, and equality, right? And I'm going to say equality coming beyond American slavery, right? Now, the monologue or the connection that I have made for you is that will Americans ever learn common sense and wisdom to eliminate racism, white supremacy, and black prejudices, with an exclamation point. And I said in the continuation, what are the what are the social impacts of the 1960s soul music era that birthed black power cries and fight for freedom, justice, and equality nationally through song and dance, right? Now, what do we have today in the music world leading us to promised land? We have very few, to be honest with you. I mean, there's like people who have the spirit, but in terms of getting knocked out from the work, we have people like Michael Jackson, suffered a kind of unusual death. We had other people like Jimi Hendrix suffer an unusual death. We had some others. I think some lady singer I'm not sure, it wasn't Keys, but she was coming from somewhere in Jamaica, I believe, and she crashed her plane either trying to land in Jamaica or taking off. But that was actually what was a intentional bomb being put in the airplane, making it crash. And then we also had a plane crash with the president of the United States. At that time was President Clinton, Bill Clinton, and he had a Secretary of State named Ron Brown, who was over the economic, and he was actually killed in an airplane crash in Germany, and they said that he crashed because it was so foggy they couldn't see, but I don't think they found his body or something. I don't know. It's kind of strange. So, but the point is that that Secretary of State Brown, his last name Ron Brown, he was organizing economic movement in Africa with the different country leaders, and that was something that America doesn't want black people to mobilize on economic fronts. So Ron Brown was murdered, and not only him, but they had about maybe 20 plus CEOs of various companies who had went there on plane, and that was a violation of protocol, having so many visionary leaders getting murdered at one time with the plane crashed. And it was in Germany. I'm sure it was in Germany. They said that the fog was so bad that the plane crashed, and it's just really strange. So I'm just saying to you, please, we have to have mercy, and we pray to God that God will bless us to help our country come to its right senses. So in any event, it's 7:02. I'm going to disconnect, and I'm going to say to you a song that I wrote called I Tried to Be a Star. So here it goes. I tried to be a star, but I didn't get very far. I pretended to be a saint, but my friends told me, man, you ain't. After years of struggle and taking double, I finally came to realize I needed something more. I turned to heaven, I prayed, the Creator God opened up the door. The first thing he did was to make me strong, and now I know that I belong on earth so I can give a little more. That's why he opened up the door. His peace on us if we believe that all together we can achieve. He made the earth, he made the sun, he made us all to grow as one. We got to save our children. So take the time to train your mind to see the signs. Don't ignore them. Our Creator is one. Don't ignore them. Our Creator is one. Don't ignore them. God is one. So until next week, I'll be on Saturday, the conference call at 12 noon Central Time. And you should dial that number, 641 area code 715-0700, and the PIN number of 294536 pound. That is a Saturday conference call that we do as a business model to roll out a rethink think tank plan to save the urban communities from gentrification, primarily those people who have skins that are darker than blue. And then also we have on Saturday evening, At 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, my sponsor, Professor, I call him Professor Washington, Kavnis Musa Abui, he actually will be moderating the Booker T. Washington Speaks, and you could come, and on the phone number that you have for calling in here, that same number, use it and get online and have a conversation with him and myself, too. I'll be actually working as a co-host, not being the moderator, but as a co-host. And I really enjoy the relationship with such an intelligent, bright man that understands history better than I ever could imagine and understands race relations better than I could imagine, understands everything better than I ever will become. But that's not for me to decide. That's for God to decide. So I'm coming, brother. I know you said in a good temperament, but I'm following your lead, sir. I'm going to pass you up one day. You know that, sir. I love you. Assalamu alaikum.